It's April 5th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got a Friday headline brief for you this morning. It is a new format for Fridays. The idea is that we are going to use the week's remaining headlines to launch ourselves into the weekend, taking with us the top line news, but it's a little bit lighter on analysis and opinion. But as always, it is still going to be chocked full of critical news and updates. So with that intro, let us get to the first edition of Headline Brief this morning that, as always, is going to shape America and the world. First up, we begin with international news, starting with the Middle East. The country of Israel has ordered its embassies around the world to be on high alert for likely attacks by the country of Iran. As listeners will recall, earlier this week, Israel hit an Iranian diplomatic compound in the country of Syria that killed a senior member of Iran's special operations group called the Quds Force. Since then, some of Israel's diplomats have been evacuated from vulnerable embassies abroad, anticipating a response by Iran. Other diplomats have been told to avoid public appearances or otherwise limit their public exposure. Officials in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem have also called up additional Israeli military personnel, plus canceled leave and ramped up air defenses of the country with the expectation that Iran will strike back and probably deeply inside that nation. The strikes, by the way, could come as early as today throughout the weekend. Meanwhile, Joe Biden spoke to Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, telling him that the recent deaths of some aid workers in the Gaza Strip who were killed by accidental Israeli missile strikes, those were unacceptable. Biden also said that the humanitarian conditions inside of the Gaza Strip are unacceptable as well. In fact, Biden warned Netanyahu that unless those conditions improved on an immediate basis, U.S. policies towards Israel will change, although exactly how remains unclear. Let me pivot now briefly to my analysis and opinion. Folks, we should watch very closely in the coming days for how this likely Iranian response will affect global oil prices. It'll all depend on how intensely Iran chooses to respond, whether that be inside of Israel with some pinprick strikes, as it were, or perhaps a ramping up of drone attacks in the Red Sea. Also, I think it's important for us to remember, Mr. Biden is hitting at Mr. Netanyahu, not just for those humanitarian concerns, but also to shore up his polling numbers. Data show that his fellow Democrats have soured on this war, especially in key swing states, and they want Biden to do something to stop it. And so that is what I will be watching for over the weekend, certainly those oil prices and beyond. But nevertheless, more to come. Next, we pivot to an update on Russia and Ukraine with a surprising assessment yesterday made from the U.S. State Department about Russia, specifically their military. The assessment is that Moscow has now almost completely reconstituted itself after tremendous losses of men and war materiel over the past 3 years. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Kirk Campbell said yesterday that his State Department and their likely intel arm called INR have assessed that Russia has rebuilt its tattered military to an ability to what it had to just before the war. And that is a notable change in assessments that has previously been offered by either the White House or the Pentagon. It's also a very different assessment as compared to recent European diplomats who have said it's going to take Russia upwards of 5 years to reconstitute itself, militarily speaking. Mr. Campbell said that the reason for his new assessment and the State Department's assessment is that China has been quietly and aggressively helping Russia to rebuild itself through an assortment of means. Light on details there, by the way. Next, let's talk about Ukraine. That country continues to improvise its strikes deep inside of Russian territory. It hit the dorms of a military industrial site earlier this week. And here's why that was really interesting. The site that was hit by this Ukrainian strike, it was over 750 miles from Ukraine. And that is well beyond the known range of virtually all of Kiev's drones. There is speculation this morning that Ukraine's military instead used a light aircraft and retrofitted it with some gear like autopilots or navigation systems that normally they use in drones. But I should say I offered that with low confidence. Nevertheless, Kiev does continue its assault on Russia, especially its oil refineries this morning, regardless of the fact that Mr. Biden has requested that they stop. In fact, we have a fresh assessment from NATO members that suggests that Ukraine's strikes on those oil refineries have taken about 15% of Moscow's refining capabilities offline. And if you combine that with some Western sanctions that limit the repairs of those refineries, it means that we could see even greater short-term impacts on global supplies and prices of gas and diesel. In fact, you would expect to see that this spring and throughout the summer. Finally, in what appears to also be another change of policy and assessment, the U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said yesterday that Ukraine will become a member of NATO, although he did not provide a precise timeline. And if that were to occur, it would be a dramatic likely escalation between directly NATO forces and Russian forces. The reason, obviously, is because NATO members would have to be or would be obligated to respond in Ukraine if asked by Kiev, and that would mean some direct fighting between the Russians and the Americans, amongst others. Obviously, that would be very, very bad. Some might forecast that to be World War III. And that is why I will keep you posted on the timeline for Ukraine's NATO entry. Probably not anytime soon, but it is definitely something that we need to keep watching. More to come. Finally, on the international front, we return to the South American nation of Guyana, where the neighboring country of Venezuela this morning is accusing U.S. Special Forces and the CIA of building secret bases in the disputed region of Essequibo. As listeners may recall from my previous briefs, Guyana discovered a massive amount of oil and natural gas off of their coast about 10 years ago. That includes the waters off of Essequibo. And that land has long been claimed by Guyana, dating back to the 1800s, but it is also claimed by the Venezuelans, at least over the past few years. And that is why the Guyanese president said this last winter that he would defend his territorial claim with all measures necessary and all partnerships required. And based on this latest allegation by the Venezuelans, that could include authorizing the U.S. military and the CIA to build some small bases in that Essequibo region. Now, we don't have word of where exactly those bases might be or the number of personnel or materiel there, but I will certainly keep a watch for more details and bring you those accordingly. If I can offer you my quick analysis and opinion, we could well see Venezuela use either direct or covert military action against those bases, which would probably lead to certainly injury, if not death, of some of those men and women in uniform. And depending on the U.S.'s White House's reaction to that, it could lead to a very bad escalation, including a low-grade covert war with Caracas. More to come. And with that, we pivot to domestic news. But, you know, let's do that after a quick break with two companies sponsoring today's program, the wonderful folks at Bubs Naturals and Jace Medical. We'll be right back. Well, I am hooked. I'm hooked on BubsNaturals.com. Every morning, folks, I use their collagen peptide powder in my coffee, and I do it because it helps me with my joints. It tackles my aches and pains after all those years of beating up my body, doing that silly spy stuff. But with Bubs Collagen, I just feel better. Bubs also has another product that I love. Their hydration packs. I use those before and after the gym. Keeps me going strong, just like the guy who inspired these products, by the way, a fellow named Glenn Doherty. He was a former CIA officer and Navy SEAL who sadly was killed in Benghazi. But his spirit of tenacity and strength is the bedrock of every Bubs product. So folks, go to BubsNaturals.com. And when you buy from Bubs, make sure that you use promo code RIGHT. You will get 20% off your order when you do. Again, that is BubsNaturals.com. Promo code RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T. And trust me, your joints will be so happy you did. I guarantee it. I got an email from Mark and Kathy in Central Ohio about JaceMedical.com. Brian, they wrote, we heard about Jace from your podcast and we ordered some antibiotics and our cholesterol medicines. We just wanted to make sure that we have peace of mind in case things go south and we're now set. So much appreciated. Well, Mark and Kathy, you are welcome. And this is why I love being so choosy about my ad partners. I can find companies like Jace Medical. They provide life-saving prescription medications delivered right to your door. And by now, you all know how easy it is. You just go to jasemedical.com. You fill out a simple online form, and in no time flat, you will get your medicines. And in some cases, you'll have a quick phone call with one of their board-certified physicians to make sure you're getting exactly what you need. But either way, it's a great service. So go to jasemedical.com. That's J-A-S-E medical.com. And when you enter promo code RIGHT at checkout, you are going to get a great discount on your order. Again, folks, that is promo code RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, at J-A-S-E medical.com. That's jasemedical.com. And do this today, because there is no telling what tomorrow might bring. Welcome back to the Right Report and today's inaugural edition of Headline Brief. Let's switch gears and focus on domestic news, shall we? Starting with the economy. Late yesterday, the Ohio Department of Agriculture confirmed what appears to be the country's first case of bird flu amongst beef cattle. As listeners will recall from earlier this week, we have seen the same set of outbreaks in dairy cows, plus a wide range of wild and domestic animals, but never beef cows. Sadly, that no longer remains the case. This comes just days after the virus was also found in additional chicken farms in the states of Texas and Michigan, with about 1.6 million chickens culled so far to prevent further spread. The question, of course, is how this might affect beef, chicken, and egg prices. So far, no material effect. But future forward, it'll all depend on the severity of the outbreak, plus reactions by consumers, especially if they get a little bit spooked about the virus in meat. The CDC and USDA are emphasizing this morning that there is no known risk to any consumers, but they recommend that you should thoroughly cook your meats as always. Also, they emphasize that if someone does happen to get bird flu, which is very rare, symptoms are none to mild, including lethargy and itchy red eyes. So there's the risk, with more to come. Next, we have news about your homeowner's insurance policies with prices set to rise to a new record. Bloomberg News reports that the average premium for homeowner's insurance is expected to hit $2,522 by the end of the year. That record is being driven largely by natural disasters, reinsurance costs, and higher fees for home repair. And if we do hit that $2,500 average, that would be a 6% increase year over year on top of a 20% increase over the past 2 years. Let me now quickly pivot to my analysis and opinion, offering you this. I expect that this news and that like it will be yet one more reason of the cascade of reasons for why a lot of consumers are going to direct their political anger at Mr. Biden. Polls show that the underlying fear of a lot of consumers, certainly over the past 3 months, is that whatever economic progress that we have made recently, a lot of folks just don't think it's going to last very long. In other words, it's tenuous at best. And this news just helps cement that fear. This news also underlines, I think, why younger Americans will continue to be priced out of the housing market. And they too will likely direct their political anger at Mr. Biden, at least based on previous polling. More to come on all of that. Next, we have an update on America's plan to refill our emergency supply of oil. The U.S. Energy Department announced that it is canceling its plans that they published just 3 weeks ago to purchase 3 million barrels of oil. The hope was that they could partially refill what is called the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR. And one of the four SPR sites that they were hoping to refill is in the state of Louisiana. But no longer. Because of events in the Middle East and Russia, oil prices have popped higher over the past 4 weeks, busting the budget of the U.S. government's prospective oil purchases. And that is why America's emergency oil reserves now sit at or near record lows. And that is all because Mr. Biden chose to draw down that emergency supply over the past couple of years to try to help lower gas and diesel prices. But it is not clear that that drawdown did much of anything, as CNN has reported. What is clear, though, is that the SPR sits at about 360 million barrels, down from about 600 million just 2 years ago. As for my analysis and assessment, well, here's what we should do. Try crossing your fingers over the weekend, because based on America's current leadership, luck is our best and frankly only strategy right now. Our energy and economic future largely depends on what other people do in places like the Middle East, Ukraine, and Taiwan. And to be clear, what we saved with this drawdown was about 15 cents a gallon, so you can decide whether or not that was worth it. I'll keep you posted. Next, and speaking of all things politics, let's start talking about America's national debt. Bloomberg News ran a series of simulations over the past week to determine if the country's deficit spending and our debt could be possibly sustained in either the medium to long term based on current debt numbers and likely future spending. And I should say, by simulations, the folks at Bloomberg ran 1 million simulations of both spending and debt. And here's what they found. In 88% of cases, the 1 million simulations found that the United States is on a debt path that is unsustainable, pushing the country into default. And the reason is pretty clear, pretty simple. We are $34 trillion in debt, with expectations of hitting $54 trillion in just 10 years. And that will lead to interest payments of at least $1.4 trillion per year. And that will be ruinous for this country. These simulations and warnings, by the way, come after similar alarm bells were reported by the Congressional Budget Office earlier this week. They said that Congress and the White House are overspending. But those alarms have so far fallen on deaf ears. So to the point, there is a bill for $60 billion in aid to Ukraine, as we've talked a lot about, that should be voted on at some point over the next week or two. We will be discussing that when the vote gets scheduled. And next, we pivot from America's cash crunch to the gusher of gold in American politics. The Trump campaign announced that it had raised $66 million in the month of March. That leaves Mr. Trump and the Republican National Committee with about $93 million in cash on hand. But that is still substantially less than Mr. Biden and the Democrat Party, specifically the Democrat National Committee. They reported $155 million in the bank about a month ago. We should have their March totals at some point, probably next week. But the upshot is this. Republicans, on a net basis, are down about $60 million in this race for cash. And according to the folks of the Trump campaign, that's not going to change. They simply can't match Mr. Biden or Democrats in their fundraising. Trump's team says that is because the left enjoys a pretty deep bench of billionaires who are underwriting the Democrat campaigns. That said, the Trump team said, hey, don't worry. He beat Hillary Clinton back in 2016, despite that Democrat having a massive cash advantage. In the meantime, Mr. Biden and his party do have some big money machine at work. They're using a lot of cash to launch a blizzard of ads in swing states, trying to pull back Black, Hispanic, and younger voters that have been drifting further and further towards Mr. Trump. They're also using a lot of campaign cash to target state races and governorships. That initiative, by the way, is called Down Ballot Defenders. And those folks are raising a lot of money for that, millions and millions of dollars, with Democrats pretty fired up for it. Donations are up 45% just this past quarter. With that, let me offer you my quick analysis and opinion. On this podcast, I often encourage folks to get involved early and often when it comes to preparing for next November's election. So this news about the Down Ballot Defenders, I think, should be a really important reminder that if you don't share the values of Mr. Biden or his party, it is critical to get moving and involved right now. To go to your church or synagogue or mosque or social clubs, whatever, get people organized, raise some money, and ultimately just ensure that you and your friends get to the polls, get those early ballots in if your state allows. As ever, not a lecture, just a friendly reminder. And that takes us to our final pieces of domestic news about health. First, we've got some solid science about a very old idea. Here it is. Sunshine is the best disinfectant. Well, in this case, a version of it. A study by Columbia University released this week shows that something called far UVC is wonderfully effective at killing bacteria and viruses in a real-life setting, not just a lab. They installed a form of sunshine called far UVC in a form of a lamp, and they put those in ceilings. And they discovered that it takes less than 5 minutes to destroy 98% of airborne microbes in that particular room. The study showed that they could then replicate some previous laboratory findings that suggested this, but they'd never actually done it in a real-life setting. Well, if this idea of using light or far UVC stuff sounds a little bit familiar, it should. Mr. Trump roughly promoted this concept back in 2020, and it resulted in absolute ridicule. But as it turns out, he kind of had a point. If I might offer you my analysis and opinion, I think that we should combine this great news with my previous brief about humidity. To refresh our memories on that, that research suggested that if we keep humidity levels inside of our homes at about 60% or so, that would encourage spontaneous microscopic droplets of hydrogen peroxide. That too obviously kills viruses and bacteria, as I shared. So if we could combine that with this far UVC lighting, well, you might have a pretty good path forward to living a normal life during, say, cold and flu seasons. Yes, please. Or maybe the upcoming bird flu pandemic. Just saying. I'll keep you posted. Finally, a remarkable study of hope and promise to tell you about regarding Parkinson's disease. But before we get to the treatment, let's remind ourselves of how this disease works. It begins with a protein that misfolds and starts to clump together. Those clumps then damage nerve cells in the brain that produce dopamine. Well, in turn, that leads to the symptoms that we all sadly know about Parkinson's, from balance problems to stiffness, tremors, to also the loss of smell, constipation, and sleep disturbances. Those protein clumps are believed to be formed in the gut at the very earliest stages of the disease and reach the brain via something called the vagus nerve. And that process, from beginning to end, it's a little bit mysterious, probably involving gut bacteria, home to trillions of bacteria in our intestines. Previous research has found that patients with Parkinson's often have very unusual developments or flora of gut bacteria. That actually leads credence to the theory that somehow this is all connected, bacteria to Parkinson's. Well, that prompted doctors and researchers in Belgium to wonder this. What if they killed off the existing gut bacteria in Parkinson's patients? They then took donor bacteria from something or a process he called fecal transfer, and then reset the gut, as it were, of a patient. Could that change the evolution of this disease and help patients? Well, researchers did this fecal transfer with disease sufferers, plus they had a control group, and they followed them for 12 months. And the findings were absolutely incredible. Parkinson's patients had significant improvement of their motor skills and far less constipation. Interestingly, the benefits got even better over time. The next step is to test which donor bacteria in particular were the most beneficial and perhaps use that as a very specific pill at some point down the road to help Parkinson's patients. But in the meantime, if I could offer you my analysis and opinion, for folks who have Parkinson's, I would sure encourage you to speak with your doctors about this latest study and this treatment. It is called FMT. The procedure is regarded safe. It is well tolerated. So it may be something to try, or at least talk about, of course, putting aside all those issues of insurance and out-of-pocket expenses. But nevertheless, for folks who have Parkinson's or love someone who does, boy, this is great news. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your Friday Headline Brief. As always, I will see you on Monday, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.